This episode is available to watch as a video podcast exclusively on the Talking Backwards Patreon page. Sign up today over at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Oh, I'm super bad.
Did a vocal warm up in the car so I can talk good.
Oh, you're a good talker. One of the best.
Thanks.
In the biz.
He does words. Best.
He's a death mask expert as well.
He knows how to do.
I'm a toxman.
The toxman. Toxman with Dave Jackson.
The Davey Jackson.
Little TLDJ.
The little Davey Jackson.
We're talking smin today.
We're talking smin.
Smin.
Let's hit that intro music.
Oh, yeah. Got a job to do.
Hey, that's great. Welcome back to Talking Backwards, a Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, joined, as always, by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And, as always, by Tyler Mullins.
Every single time.
Yep. Every time. We're here.
Even when I'm not around.
That's
Tyler's
true.
Around.
He is back from the dead, people. Or, never mind. What? He dies next episode.
Spoiler alert. Oh, that's going to be really weird if, in fact, I end up in some sort of tragic accident.
Oh, man.
That's awful.
Let's not think about that.
Nope. We've got enough death this episode.
Although, for the record, I was dead on the internet for like 2 days because a friend of mine just put up RIP Dave Jackson on his wall. And it started this...
His Facebook wall?
Short-lived, yeah. This short-lived flurry of people just like, wait, what?
That's... Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
My mom called me.
Oh, wow.
I was like, hey, I just wanted to check on you. I was like, okay, thanks. Like,
I'm fine.
It's great. Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you? She's like, I'm fine. I thought you had died.
Can't believe everything like, you read on the internet,
like,
mom.
I'm like, nope. Nope, not dead.
She's in the age group, though, I would assume that everything on the internet is true.
She's a little susceptible to internet claims.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of parents are.
But good for me and good for her, good for everybody that likes me. I'm alive.
I like you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Twin Peaks, folks. We're happy to have you with us.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about The Return Part 6.
Oh.
Unto the Dead is the official title of this episode.
I don't know that it is. I'd like to correct you there.
Oh.
Well, it sounds like we're going to need a couple of Pat stats.
Ooh.
How many?
A few.
Haul out your boy for some Pat stats.
This is part 6 of Twin Peaks, The Return, a.k.a. Season 3, Episode 6, a.k.a. Don't Die, from Twin Peaks, the limited event.
That's series. Pretty close.
You were very close. You were right.
Still unto the dead.
Death stuff is in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of death in this episode.
Yeah, we're lousy with death in this one, but not yet.
Not right away.
We are going to start off at Lucky 7 Insurance, where Cooper Dougie is still not made at home.
Yeah, picking up.
After close of business last night.
Right where we left off.
Right back up. We're still just at the statue, but having a little trouble with our sleeve.
Yeah.
So does he also not have to sleep?
It's a good question.
I'm unsure if he knows how yet.
Yeah. He just lays there with
his
eyes.
He's unfamiliar with the concept.
Yeah. Somebody has to remind him what sleep is.
Yes, he's one armor at this point.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Can't see.
Can't see his hand.
Yeah.
He's a little stuck in there. He's doing that thing that we all did when we first discovered long sleeves.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
He's trying to like finger point the gun and got stuck or something in his long sleeve Dougie Jones jacket. He's just getting wrapped up in it.
Mm-hmm. His 52 regular size blazer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little big.
It is.
It's a little big for a boy. But, Brother Man comes back along and tells him once again he needs to stop loitering. Time to move along. He asks him where he lives. And he just says, home.
Home.
The obvious answer.
Yep.
Tries to touch his badge.
Of course.
Still fascinated with the badge.
Badge didn't wake him up.
I like later when they call back to that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he has a thing for my badge.
I do too. That's really funny.
I did know that.
He likes my badge.
We have a relationship
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And this is just some silly thing he
this
does.
This is the thing we do.
He likes my badge. So after he tries to touch the security guard's badge, he ends up getting driven home with his case files to the Jones house.
Yes.
Where Janie E. answers the door, and we have a short interaction where he continues to try and touch his badge.
That's my husband, Dougie Jones.
Yeah, Dougie Jones.
Don't say his you name. Know? Yeah. Of course I know this man. Yeah, that's my husband, Dougie Jones.
I love that she just has to say his full name.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes it so good. She's really great here. Mm-hmm. And in the scene once they get inside.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, this whole episode, she's great.
Yeah, Naomi Watts crushes this whole episode. She just eats it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. I like that dinner is sandwiches and chips.
Miss Vicky's
chips. Miss Vicky's chips. I did not catch the flavor, but I will say my favorite Miss Vicky's chips, if you want to treat yourself.
Jalapeno?
Is the jalapeno.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel absolutely. Like these were the barbecue based on the color of bag.
Yeah, I don't catch color so much.
Yeah, I know. It's true. I always forget.
It reminds me of Schlotsky's Deli.
Oh yeah. Man. Schlotsky's,
and I miss a Schlotsky's Deli.
I went to Schlotsky's last year, 2 years ago.
So good. It's a funny name.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it's a Schlotsky's.
Schlotsky's is what I used to call it.
Yep.
Which is pretty good.
It's pretty close.
For a child.
It's as close as Unto the Dead as Don't Die.
It's true.
So yeah, they're sitting around the dinner table with the mushroom cloud lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Is that significant?
Not sure.
Maybe we'll find out.
Why'd you say cloud? Why not just mushroom?
Why would I? Don't question me.
Don't question this. We have a process.
Yeah, keep going. Move on.
But Janie E. is going to make an appointment for him to see a Dr. Ben.
Ben. Second Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Horn.
Oh.
Yep.
Man.
But then sends him to say goodnight to Sunny Jim, but that takes a while.
Sunny Jim. I love it. He walks by the kid's room, and that kid is just, oh, man.
Yeah.
He's not going to come. Also, he's just sitting there reading.
Yeah. I also feel like this is a...
With a nightlight, like a book light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he also has a lamp.
He's reading the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys, which I feel like is a very Cooper book to be reading. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the things in this room, there's even a little... I noticed, I think on, I don't know if it's like the nightstand or whatever's next to his bed, but there's a little figure of like a cowboy that looks very much like the statue mm-hmm. from the beginning of the episode, like pointing. There's a little figure of that. But there's a lot of detail here. I feel like this would be Cooper as a boy,
mm-hmm.
like just with the room and what he's reading and just the things in the room. There's some details too from the Del Cooper book that you got me, the autobiography of Del Cooper, just mm-hmm. in there, because there's stuff from when he was young in there that remind me of just some things in this room. Just a nice attention to details, all. Great mm-hmm. set dressing.
Who yeah. wrote that?
Yeah, he does pass his room up, but he also passes the stairs the first time to go upstairs and see him.
That's true. He's just like...
He kind of behaves like a dog that you tell to leave the room, but then it tries to act like it doesn't know where out of the room is. It's just like, oh, I can't find it. Sorry, I can't. You just have to keep telling him until they get it right.
He tries to offer him a chip.
Mm-hmm.
He does. I already brushed my teeth.
Which reminds me of Coop in the season 2 finale saying, I haven't brushed my teeth yet.
Yep.
So I can eat a chip.
Right.
Why, yes, I will have a chip.
Sure, why not?
I have yet to brush my teeth. Let me just go do that real quick.
Yeah.
So,
end of series.
He offers him a chip. He's already brushed his teeth, so he just kind of leaves it there on his covers in case he wants a snack later.
Just set this
kid's
here.
Gonna fall asleep
with a chip,
roll over in the night, crush it,
asleep,
and then wake up in the morning with
crumbs,
chip shards.
That is more accurate.
I bet the old Dougie Coop probably used to leave a poker chip in his bed. Don't gamble, son. Let this be a reminder to you. Don't be like your father.
Here's a $10,000 chip.
Yeah.
There's just a box of chips under the bed.
Saving these for a rainy day.
Here's another one for the pile.
But the new Dougie leaves Miss Vicky's chips.
That's possible. I feel like that's kind of rare product placement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could have been just a generic brand that's used in movies. Yeah. It is odd.
Yeah, it's not a bag of Letts.
Oh, yeah. Get your hands off. Get your damn hands off my Letts.
It is an interesting product placement for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any others.
I haven't seen any like in this.
Or even in the original series.
The series as a whole is pretty good about naming specific products when they reference anything. Like even in the Secret History, there's existing brands of things that are mentioned.
Not the made up knee high orange soda.
Like knee high orange soda is a thing.
Is real.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's not talking about knee high socks.
Nope. No.
Not
definitely
at all.
Definitely not.
I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it just kind of is to ground the world in reality.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they go out of their way not to, to short anything about what these people do and what they're into. Like the man likes Miss Vicky's chips. And I can relate.
Yeah.
I would not relate to a generic bag of jalapeno chips.
Oh, no, that would be garbage.
Or barbecue chips, whatever it is.
They're barbecue chips. Some Lay's.
If they're going to be the Lay's, they're the mesquite barbecue, let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. There's
talk about chips all day.
I could do an entire podcast about different chips.
Yeah. All right.
And I might.
Let's do it.
Talking chips.
It's called The Chip on My Shoulder with Dave Jackson.
Oh, nice. I like that. Special guest.
Chips.
That's what they called me in middle school.
It is loud, too. You guys remember the clapper?
Clap on, clap off, clapper.
Mm. Yeah.
But this one only you clap once.
Yep. Product placement there.
No, not at all. Why does he have that?
Why does he have
it? It's 2017.
Yeah, he's also right next to the lamp that he's clapping on and off. Just reach over and click it.
Which is right next to his book light.
Yeah.
That he had no problem turning on and off.
They're just getting that electric current going in the house.
Got electricity.
Got
to warm this up for
all
the spirits to come in.
Got to turn the light on and off.
Feel like that was purpose.
Not at all.
Okay. You're just bad.
Yeah. I'm just bad at describing. Mostly.
I get it.
Yep.
So, Cooper and Sunny Jim go back and forth a little bit, turn the light on and off with their claps.
Tad! Oh, Sunny
Jim. Cooper loves it. So, yeah, then as they're having a good time, Janie E. rudely interrupts.
Oh, my gosh. She told him to go upstairs.
Now she wants him downstairs.
I mean, talk about your classic hot and cold situation.
Yeah, very, very cold in this moment. Brings him down because it's the folder that the security guard handed when he brought him home.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the doorstep.
Yeah, he had his case files, but he also said, and this is on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Big legal size envelope. And inside are pictures of Dougie with Jade.
Jade,
give two rights.
I bet she did. Oh, man.
Yeah, we are going in on Dougie here.
I love the smile that he gives, too.
Yeah.
Like, when Jade's, when he sees Jade, he's like, oh, Jade.
Oh, Jade, yeah.
So, yeah.
Jade's great.
Yeah.
Jade was a big help.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And her, I don't know, her super emotional state, like, look at you holding each other. It's like they're like standing 4 feet apart holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, where is your relationship?
Yeah, much as 6 feet apart. There's a
touching
6 feet.
Touching fingertips.
Yeah,
just barely, just every now and then.
Is it noon 30 yet?
But then
no, not yet.
Then they, like, perfect timing, get a call.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Just in time to interrupt this slam sesh.
It's like the perfectly timed call, too, because it's in relation to what she's looking at.
She's like, well, maybe this is Jade, then.
She hasn't called before. Why is she going to call right now?
Yeah.
He's indisposed.
We know. We've been watching this series. We know he's indisposed.
Yes. Like that she answers the phone, does the shush motion, and then he tries to do it to her.
Yeah.
She just swats it. She's like, stop. Yeah, it's
so good.
This is the bookies that are trying to get the money back, and she handles them just like a boss over the phone.
Oh, yeah. I would not want to mess around with her.
On the phone.
Who can get that kind of money? What are you going to do, break his legs?
Yeah.
He can't get that money with broken legs.
Yeah.
No, can't get it with not broken legs. That's true.
But actually,
this Dougie can.
Oh, yeah. This
the old Dougie,
do they still have that money he won?
Mm-hmm.
But she knows they have that money. Because he gave her
when he came in.
She's just holding out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's just acting very well.
Yeah. Well, she's not gonna take this call and she's like, well, lucky for you, we've got $425,000.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say that, but I also would be like, you know, my pushover self and be like, here's $52,000.
Yeah, whatever.
Here you go.
Take it.
I've still got $300,000+.
Yeah.
No, like this isn't her debt. This isn't her problem.
Yeah.
So she's not going to pay up.
But does she...
She's calling the shots right now.
Does she pay with that money?
Yeah.
Or did she actually take $25,000 out of their bank?
No, I guarantee she took the 25 out of those winnings.
Okay.
To take these guys. Although, before she said she was going to give them 50.
Right.
When she was talking to Dougie, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's saying she's only going to give them 25. And that rules.
She probably...
Like the more
took 50, give them 25, and she's starting her divorce.
Oh, savings. Yeah, she's got a shoebox.
Yeah.
Well, this is what's confusing is that she, you know, she has those reactions to seeing the pictures of Jade and Dougie, but then when it's all said and done, she like gives him a kiss, like on the head.
Yeah, she's
like, I still care about you.
Hot and cold,
like you said.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll get through this.
Yeah.
We're going to make it. I think she has some selective memory when it comes to what she's dealing with at any given moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. But
they're going to meet at 12:30.
At the corner of Guinevere and Merlin.
Merlin.
Guinevere.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that from?
These are King Arthur legend names.
Okay.
And Dougie lives on Lancelot Court.
Ooh.
Yes.
Red Door.
Yep. That's right. I'm guessing it's just kind of this area has that naming convention.
Yeah.
The way
we
have several streets that are trees, just different kinds of trees.
Oh, yeah.
Douglas Fir Lane.
Yeah. So you just.
Yeah. My grandmother lived in Fantasy Hills on Tinkerbell Lane.
Oh.
That's up near Rock City, yes?
No.
No, never mind.
And I believe this is where we get the traffic light cutscene.
Traffic light turns
red. I was trying to do a little bit of research on this because I mean, it's simple enough to just get a shot of a traffic light, but I saw like some people thinking it was the exact same shot they used in the pilot, like, and you know, they just used the exact shot of the same light.
I just assumed it was a Sparkwood and 21 light,
right? And that's what and you get the electricity kind of humming as you get this shot too.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed they have this light hanging in a soundstage and they turn off all the lights and just shoot that.
But I like
put
that
a fan
you would,
on
you would think
it
was a practical setup for this light.
But I like that's the transition to getting Philip Gerard. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm still confused why he's credited as Philip Gerard.
Phil Gerard?
Yeah, Phil Gerard.
Old Phil?
I'm probably still going to call him Mike. Just
I know, it's so, it's just.
I'm not going to make that correction.
Yeah, we can, that's another episode in the future where we can try to figure Mike out.
But it's a good bonus episode.
Yeah, it's a good transition to him, again, trying to speak to Dougie Coop.
Mm-hmm. So Philip Mike is walking around, just kind of feeling the air again, and is able to sort of superimpose into Cooper's vision. And just tells him he needs to wake up and don't die.
Good advice.
I mean, yeah. Unless he wants to be unto the dead.
See, it tells him not to die. I feel like he's just... Like all of us, he's kind of over Cooper's fugue state here.
Yeah.
Wake up. You're going to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
Snap out of it.
Moment of question.
Okay.
Dougie, the original Dougie.
Yes.
We'll call it pre-Jade Dougie.
I feel like
2001 Dougie is his name.
We're talking conception Dougie.
Sure.
Like at his.
I mean, everything leading up to the Jade.
Okay. OG Dougs.
There you go. OG Dougs.
OG Dougs.
He was like, I guess, just a basic functioning person. And then now that, I guess I'm struggling to understand, like, what's happened. Like,
or he just appeared from thin air.
Why he is the way he is now. Like, is part of Cooper is, like, emerging in him. And, like, there's this weird brain dead kind of thing that's happening.
As much as I can figure, since Dougie wasn't real, he's just this... He is a fake person, so his, like...
A vessel.
Yeah, he is a vessel. Mm-hmm. And so when Cooper and the soul, quote-unquote, in Dougie swapped places...
Yeah.
He sort of is just... Like a computer discovering a new BIOS, kind of.
Sure,
it's like, this is... Like, all of my flash memory is in another operating system.
Yeah.
So now we put a whole new board in it, and it's like, okay, I know how to function, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
That's what I'm... That was probably the nerdiest possible way to try and explain that, but...
So he is rebooting.
Yeah. So it's like... So the vessel works.
Yes.
All the functions are there. But the stuff that's driving isn't recognized yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Like, yeah, I am a body, but I knew the Dougie OS. This is the Cooper OS, and I'm not familiar with how this all fires.
Yeah.
So that's all right. That's kind of where I am with it. It's like
the 14th update you've put on your 12-year-old Mac.
Yeah. It's like Windows Vista, am I right?
No, man. Or 7.
You're not going to find any 7 fans.
You're not going to find any 7 fans.
If he had just come through the electrical socket with his shoes,
be a whole different
story. He'd be complete.
Yeah. You know why? Because he left his souls in those shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
There it is.
And that, as they say, is that.
And that wraps the return.
Crack the code, solve the crime.
Did it. Done.
Just did it.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
So right after seeing Mike, some little like laser pointer lights start showing up on the case files.
Yeah.
And Cooper just starts doing some scribbles.
Yeah. Scribbling.
Stairs, ladders, holding his pencil like a 5-year-old.
Doing some scribs?
Doing some scribs.
All right.
Just drawing lines to things and stairs and ladders. And this is on a couple of Anthony Sinclair's cases. This is the chump from the episode previous.
Yeah. Mm. That chump.
That chump.
That lying chump.
Mm-hmm.
He's lying.
He sucks.
So he just starts making
he's scribbling. Some scribs. Yeah, he's making some scripts from his name down to some detective names.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we got Detective Loomis, and then I forget the other one.
Sure. Stratton. Stockton.
Stockton sounds right.
Stockton?
Yeah. So he's drawing the lines from his name down to these detective names. Mm.
So as he's doing that, is it the same 3 names on all the paperwork? I couldn't.
Not 100%. There are some other names as well, but none that he's drawing any attention to, I feel like.
Well, I feel like on some of them, because Anthony Sinclair was on all of them.
Yeah.
But the detectives, when Battling Bud was going through them, the detectives seemed like there was multiple, like not just the.
It's possible.
It's possible these are crooked cops.
I need to look back, yeah. Yeah, another recurring theme.
Yeah.
crooked cops.
Where's this light coming from? Like, who's driving the laser pointer?
Again, I think it's similar to the casino scenes and even the green light there. I think it's just Black Lodge magic. I think it's Philip Gerard in there.
It seems like he's kind of just intuiting this, but obviously he's being led.
He's getting help from Fike.
with a PH.
Yep.
Gotcha. Oh.
Okay.
Fike.
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 Gross. Fike.
No.
Fike.
Never. Never will happen.
Classic Fike.
All right, Tyler.
What you got?
We're about to have some fun here.
We're going to Max Von's bar.
We're going to do some singing in the rain.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do some singing in the rain.
Oh, man.
So Albert's having a night out on the town, mm-hmm. But for work.
Yep.
Apparently it's 34 degrees outside. It is. And raining.
It is raining.
It's enough to nearly give a man pneumonia.
Nearly.
But Gordon reassures him on the phone when he's in the car, you know, that he's doing very important work.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. We realize. We don't realize in the first moment of first seeing this, but we realize he's doing important work. But yeah, he gets out. It's pouring down rain. And this is where we get my damn fine line of the night. This is Albert, obviously pissed. He's got some vendetta against the star of Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly.
Fuck Gene Kelly, you motherfucker!
Damn fine.
It's so good. The delivery is so great. He's so angry about this. I feel like this is something he said anytime he's just caught in the rain. He's just so pissed about.
I think it's Gene Kelly. an ongoing thing in his life. Like every time he gets caught in the rain, the first time it was just kind of drizzling.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but then like over the course of the years, you know, he just gets more and more angry. Mm-hmm. Gene Kelly.
Yeah, this is all come to a head at this moment.
And this is like
also
the final straw.
A very weird loose connection I made on our recent rewatches in the opening scene of part 5 with Lorraine. She's talking to Gene, and she's like, "Fuck Gene," and I just being so like obsessed with his line, you know, yeah. I was like, "Oh, Gene, fuck Gene." Where have I heard that? Oh, fuck you, Gene Kelly. So it's our second fuck Gene of the show. I mean, it is.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's weird.
That is a weird double, but that is there.
Weird double.
Fuck me.
But yeah, so
good catch.
So we get a great shot of the Max Von's bar, mm-hmm. Neon sign, another neon sign.
Mm-hmm. It's just a seedy little dive. Some music that's too loud playing.
Yep.
I want a Max Von's sweatshirt.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I feel like I want that too. All right. So, internet.
see what we can do.
Make it happen. Of note, the Max Von's bar logo is a megaphone with some lines coming out, and it doesn't look dissimilar from the shots coming out of the gun in the Bang Bang bar.
Ah,
very similar, yeah.
Very similar.
I knew it looked kind of familiar.
All right. Well, let's cut the chaff here. Let's get to what matters.
Let's get to what matters. We did our live stream for this where Tyler watched this episode for the first time. Dave and I, we were looking forward to this for so long. I told Dave this was going to be D-Day. When we finally get the big reveal here for Tyler.
Yep.
But you know, in this moment, it is like 2 minutes, I feel like, before we see what happens here from the time we first see Albert. It's a good build.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was pounding. I was just waiting because this has been such a big thing on the show of Tyler wondering who the hell is Diane.
Wonder no more.
Wonder no more.
Tyler? It is the genuine pop banger.
Oh, yeah.
Laura Dern. That's
right. Yes.
Diane.
Woo!
Yes!
Hello.
My heart's been pounding last night.
Oh, man.
Oh man, Tyler.
Perfect casting. Perfect.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Tyler, you said it the best there. Perfect casting.
Perfect casting.
And it really is. And not the first time Laura Dern's worked with David Lynch. She worked with him a ton. Blue Velvet, Wild at Heart.
Yeah, just in case anybody has forgotten, David Lynch once sat on the roadside with a cow and a sign campaigning for Laura Dern.
Wow.
For her role in Inland Empire. It was amazing.
Wow.
So Albert goes in here, says Diane. We see the back of woman.
I mean,
yeah. She turns around. It's the simplest scene. She says, "Hello, Albert."
And that's the last we see of Diane in this part. That's it.
It was enough.
It's a perfect moment.
It was enough.
And I feel like that's, I mean, we had to avoid, you know, when we pulled up the Showtime, because they like to spoil things on the website, the web interface, like she's the still frame of this episode. Not that you would have known she's Diane.
Right.
But it's just like, come on, why would this be? But it is, when I think of part six, I do think of the Diane scene probably first, just because it's so important. We never knew what she looked like, if she even existed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he just talked to his, was that the name of his tape recorder? It would have made sense with a guy like Cooper. It's just, he could have named his tape recorder Diane, and he just has a relationship with the recorder.
Well, we do know from Fire Walk With Me that Diane was a person that existed.
Yes.
Unless there was just a tape recorder sitting in a chair in that office.
And yeah, you couldn't completely discount that.
Which one of you made the great point about that scene, though, where he talks about her haircut?
Sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Had to be me.
Yeah. And I love it, because that makes that scene feel even better too. Like, this was the first time she had that haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes a comment about it. I love that.
Diane, you've done something with your hair.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, that is
something perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So yeah, I love that. I think that makes that scene feel much different in this light. So
I love that you immediately get the sense that Diane is just a salty individual. All she says is "Hello, Albert" in this scene, but the way she turns around, the look she's giving, the way she's holding her cigarette, everything is just like annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, why are you here?
What? I expect her to turn around and just go, "No."
Yeah. Although I'm sure deep down she knows.
She should have just like blown smoke in his face.
Yep. Well, we do learn later that the conversation doesn't really go much further than that.
Right.
No. Yeah. That was it.
But that was it. Yeah.
Yep, that's the reveal of Diane, and it's great.
It is.
Wonderful. And then we shift gears pretty hard to an unknown location where Karate Tweaker Red has met with Angleface. And apparently, dude's just taking a bump of something that really kicks.
Yeah.
Because he just can't get away from
it. Just kicks.
Karate.
and they've both taken it, because they're both just tweaking out.
Yeah.
Red's a little more used to it.
Yes.
if that's used to it.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, I know. But he's at least, like, he's crazy, of course.
He's got a little bit more composure. But he's at least got,
I was going to say, he's got more control over it than Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say Red, but that's double R. Weird.
Hey.
That was weird. Red and Richard.
Red.
But they're kind of talking about the drug business in Twin Peaks. They feel like this town's going to be a pushover. The sheriff's like 90 years old or something.
Yeah.
How
is he the sheriff?
Frank?
Yeah. Why isn't Hawk sheriff?
It's a great
question. Did this guy... Is it like a bloodline?
Keep it in the family.
they take the regal system when it comes to the sheriffing in Twin Peaks. That's a good point. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good backstory. I'd love to learn more about.
He just showed up. I'm sheriff now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, did Harry appoint him? Why wouldn't he appoint Hawk?
Hawk wasn't ready.
Wonder if Hawk's a little salty about that.
Maybe Hawk didn't want it.
Maybe Hawk didn't want it.
Maybe and did Frank...
Frank.
Frank.
Did Frank hire this asshole...
Chad?
...deputy?
Don't know.
It's possible.
We don't know how Chad got hired.
we don't know when the position changed hands. Exactly.
So. I'm sure he hired Jesse, though. He's a cool cat.
We can come back to that.
Yeah. We can.
Red kind of offhandedly mentions there's a problem with his liver after he smacks himself a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, he has to jumpstart it every now and then.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell him not processing alcohol. I gotta
give it a little kick.
Gotta kickstart my filter.
I saw him drinking at the... Roadhouse in part two. But yeah, it's not stopping him.
No. Not. Probably what led to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have had that damn drink a couple parts ago.
That was the straw. We witnessed it in real time, didn't even know it. He tells Richard is his name?
Yes.
Angleface's name is Richard. Okay.
Dick, if you can't remember it.
Sure.
That should be easy to remember.
Yeah, for sure. So he tells Dick that he can pick up the rest of the Sparkle, which I guess is the street name for this drug.
Which is
Sparkwood.
Too light and bubbly for the show.
Sparkle. Yeah.
Sparkle.
You can pick up the rest of the Unto the Dead.
Unto the Dead. Dead. Sparkle.
The Chinese is, yeah, this the Sparkle. Is this the Chinese designer drugs? Trying to get to the bottom of this.
I feel like it's gotta be.
Yeah, I do.
I feel
too.
Like this is the stuff.
Yeah, I think so too.
But he tells me he can pick up the rest of the Sparkle at Mary Ann's.
Not how do you know about Mary Ann?
Not
right, yeah.
Not Miriam.
Miriam.
But Mary Ann.
Mary Ann, yeah. Then yeah. Just ask him if he's ever I got way too excited about this one. Asks him if he's ever seen The King and I.
Yep.
Aggressively.
Yeah.
Which triggers two memories from the past in the show.
Yep.
We get Leland,
I know one.
Yeah, Leland singing Getting to Know You.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's
the and then
and Pete.
Pete bringing it up.
The King and I.
The King and I.
Spinning around.
Yeah. Yeah.
With his milk.
The yeah. King and I.
I love it.
Yeah.
Dobby, it's me. Yeah. That's later, but it's kind of.
It's everyone's favorite movie in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
So, it's the only thing playing at the drive-in.
Wow.
But Red doesn't trust the kid.
No.
Don't
Why
call
would
him that,
you?
Though.
Look at him.
Don't hey. Call him kid.
He doesn't like being called kid.
His moment of being tough. Don't call me kid.
It's like, I will saw your head open and eat your brains.
Brain. Yeah, that's weird.
Vivid.
Like, all right, well, call me kid then.
Yeah.
Would be right my ahead. Reaction. Yeah, he didn't like that. More finger guns.
Yeah. Red, too. I mean, let's talk about that. That's. I know we've talked about it before, but with the Red Room, mm-hmm. you know, one of the big fan theories after this episode aired was that, you know, with him doing magic,
magic,
people liked to think, oh, is he the grandson grown up? Is he cream corn boy?
Yeah, we do get a magic trick.
We do.
Do we?
Yep. Red pulls out a dime and flicks it into the air where it hovers for quite a while.
Then you hear it drop. But when you hear the sound of it dropping, it's in Dick's mouth.
Yep. He spits it out and looks at it, and then Red opens his hand again, and it's there. And not in the kid's fingers.
Yeah.
Then he slaps it over like he's turning it, but it's still on heads.
Well, it's on tails. He says, this is you.
Oh, that's right.
Flips it on heads. This is me. He says, heads I win, tails you lose, which means he always wins.
Got him. Yeah. I remember in elementary school, there was a time we were waiting in the car pickup line, waiting to get picked up. And this kid that I knew had a coin that said, heads I win, tails you lose. And the head side was boobies and the tail side was a butt.
Wow.
Where did he find that?
He said he got it from his dad.
Oh, of course
he did. Dick speeds off.
Yep.
Still...
mad
upset
about
being
kid.
Yeah, doesn't like that.
I'll show you, kid.
Mm. Let's take a break from him and go to the Fat Drown Trailer Park.
Let's do
the
it.
The new
and improved
Fat Drown.
I mean, just streets ahead of the old one.
Streets mm-hmm. ahead, yeah.
Streets ahead.
So great to see Carl.
Yeah,
love to see Carl Rod.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great. This guy that comes up and gets the ride with him. Can I
get a ride? With you, I need to go to the PO
yeah. to pick up Linda's mail.
Linda.
Linda.
That's the only thing I gathered here.
That Dick.
And, right. And Dick we just and had a scene with Dick. So now here we get a mention. We don't get a face, but we get a mention of Linda. Mm-hmm.
Linda.
That's about all we know.
But we find out a couple of things from there right on the bus together or van. They're both taking a van into town.
Carl does it every day.
Does it every day just to get out in the world because he doesn't know how much time he has left.
Beautiful morning.
I don't think we get this guy's name that's with him, but he mentions that he gave up smoking.
Did.
And apparently Carl Rod has smoked every single day for 75 years.
Carl said it.
Yep.
Yes.
Guy seems well-intentioned enough. We don't know what his connection is to Linda. Just yet.
This guy's name is Mickey.
Mickey. That makes sense.
Okay.
He says something, and it was going to be my damn fine
line. It's
got a lot of tread left in you.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of tread left in you.
Got, yeah. Don't Carl's talking that, about Carl. He's getting old or on his way out or something like that. He's like, oh, you got,
come on,
got a
Carl.
Lot of tread left in you. Like, this guy is acting his ass off.
Is that your line?
I think it is. I think it is. I want it to be Diane, but this one's just too terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, you got a lot of tread left in you.
Don't say that, Carl. You got a lot of tread left.
I'm fine.
You going to use that from here on out? Just say it to people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of tread
daily.
Left.
Now that I know it.
Anytime I visit the old folks' home, go room to room. You got a lot of tread left in you. You got a lot of tread left in you. You know.
Yeah, just say to everyone. Yeah.
Walk down the hall. Yeah.
Yeah, the next time you go to the old folks home, that's on your to-do list.
It is.
Now we can go to the double R.
Now we go to the double R.
Man.
It's good to see Heidi.
Can't
great.
Decide.
Great to see Heidi.
Between Diane or Heidi.
Yeah, this is a good episode for you. A lot of your faves.
Definitely
some good returns.
Definitely yeah. Don't like the girl
Miriam.
Heidi is talking to
Miriam, not Miriam. Miriam,
Miriam.
Yeah, Miriam. Like she and I don't have the exact quote, but she does say something about magic because there's a connection there with what we've seen with magic. But I forget what she says
about the it's like magic. The pie magic.
Yeah, something magic. Like yeah, that. Pies are magical.
Yeah,
I don't know. But she had there's two slices today.
Had her name on them.
Had her name on them.
I wonder if they have two slices with my name on them. And you did.
Yeah, she's had cupcakes, pies.
I mean,
she loves it.
She loves the double R.
Loves it.
Apparently is a regular patron that they know well. Because she seems to overtip when she leaves. Like, she can't afford to do that.
This was the first time, or I couldn't tell if this was the first time or that she does that every time.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It seems like the first time.
Yeah.
Because I assume that they are going off of how she usually tips.
Right.
So having tipped that, they're like, she can't afford to do that.
Yeah. Which, like, I mean, I feel like she threw down a 20, and based on inflation, a tip was like $3, probably, if that.
Well, I didn't see what all she had, but if she just had two slices of pie, we're looking at
$12.
$14? Yeah.
She had to have some coffee.
She got two to go.
$2.
Yeah, she got two to go.
Two more to go. I mean, we're creeping up on $18.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what this world is where $2 is a big tip, but that
there's no
meal
world
costs
where
$18.
Is a big tip.
It's true.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, whatever she left apparently is too much.
Yeah.
So they decide they're going to treat her next time she comes in.
Great idea.
Yeah.
We're back on the road, and Dick Richard is in a truck, big truck, just speeding.
Speeding.
Upset about that magic motherfucker earlier.
Oh, man.
Comes
up on a bit of traffic.
A little bit of traffic, but in the meantime, Carl Rod enjoys a coffee on a bench, takes in some nature.
Yeah.
Watches a mother and child play.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful day outside for Mr. Carl Rod.
Carl said it. All there is now.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
That's right.
Taking in a beautiful morning.
Living in the now. It's not long before tragedy strikes.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of people to blame.
Yeah.
For whatever happens.
Sure. Sure.
First of all, these parenting skills.
Not on point.
Not great. They're playing this weird Twin Peaks version of tag.
It's like when Bob and Doppel Cooper chasing each other in the living room.
It's like they're playing green light, red light.
Ooh,
yeah.
The guy at the head of the traffic line.
Yeah, he's like, go, come on through.
Yeah, it says, go ahead.
He didn't even look at it in his mirror to see if there was a car coming.
Yeah.
Now there is a juggernaut barreling down the road.
Everyone in line behind him, not honking their horns.
Yeah.
Everyone on the sidelines after the fact.
Yeah, not doing anything about it except Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a tough scene.
It's tough.
The guy at the head of the line waves him across the road, but the mother just sends the boy.
Yeah, that's...
Sends the boy.
Doesn't that's go
dead
with him.
Sprint.
That's my beef.
Yeah.
Is that...
She doesn't let go with him. Sorry.
I got beef. Never, never do this. If you're a parent with a child, never send them ahead of you into any situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not parenting.
Unless it's like a ball pit.
Yeah. If it's somewhere you as an adult are not allowed to go,
yeah,
but you are still within sight and there are measures taken to ensure the safety of children, great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Send your kid into a ball pit, which I don't think exists anymore.
I don't think so.
But yeah.
Too many deaths.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And quite unsanitary.
Yeah. Send your kid toward the other group of kids doing whatever the group of kids is doing. That is
sparkle.
That's fine. But are they doing sparkle?
I mean, kids these days.
In that case, don't. But no, do not. It drives me insane.
Yeah.
To see this in this episode. It also drives me nuts if I'm ever on the street and there's a child on the street side of a sidewalk next to their parent.
Yeah.
Like the parent stands
you have to,
by
you have
the
to
street.
Stand, yeah.
You, stand, on you the stand between the street and the child, yeah. Always. It's infuriating.
It is.
But it's also possible that this happened.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And that's,
and, I mean,
that's
and
the
that's,
worst part.
That's the false security of this town.
Mm-hmm. You don't expect this.
No.
Like, Twin Peaks seems like a small town where everybody kind of takes responsibility and, you know, behaves like normal people do, and that's a stretch to say about Twin Peaks, but
right,
you don't expect this.
But for the general public, like, they aren't dealing with everything we are with the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our views are very compartmentalized.
Yeah.
But it seems like the town in general is a good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this sucks.
This sucks.
I don't know if we actually said what happens. The kid is sent off into the street ahead of the mother after they're waved through, and the truck that Dick is driving barrels through and flattens him.
And so when this aired, I didn't have kids.
Right.
And it was terrible.
Right.
But seeing it now, having kids, it's even worse.
I bet.
For me. It's so terrible.
I mean, you've definitely learned something from this episode.
Sure. I have.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
And I won't.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out a couple things with Carl. Something that struck me from the Secret History book. In the book, it mentions that his wife and child died during childbirth. So him seeing this, I mean, even when he's just sitting and watching them play, I feel like he's having those thoughts of like what could have been, maybe. And then obviously seeing what happened, it's probably giving him flashbacks, I would imagine, of that event.
Right.
And again, the backstory you only get with that book, which I hadn't read before when I first saw The Return. Mm-hmm. So even more powerful for me, just feeling so sorry for Carl. Also, a lot of Fire Walk With Me connections here, with Carl being one of them, being a character from Fire Walk With Me.
Carl said it. It's all connected.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a really good one. A lot of connection. Yeah, Fire Walk With Me connections. It's the same intersection where Fike pulls up by Leland and Laura, screaming at him. Again, more road raging. At the same exact intersection. So this intersection is cursed.
Yes.
100%. Sure. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, this
traffic light is cursed. And we get the pole, but the same numbers from Fire Walk With Me that are on the pole at the trailer park.
That's right, yeah.
So a lot of connections to that movie. If you... for some reason skipped Fire Walk With Me and got straight into the show, you'd miss some of these things.
If you've skipped Fire Walk With Me, stop the podcast right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Go watch that, then come back.
Yes.
And finish this one.
Yeah. But when Carl is, you know, he's the only one that goes over to them.
Mm-hmm.
But before he does that,
right,
he sees a light float away from the boy, which, with Secret History, I think that's a part of him when he got when he was in the woods with the log lady and the other guy, who I forget their name. But I think that this is maybe some sort of spiritual connection that he has that he was given.
Yeah, having kind of touched the other side, he's more open to seeing these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder what
said it. What is what was.
Man. Exactly. Those are all really good.
Those are great.
Yeah. If you haven't read The Secret History of Twin Peaks or listened to the audiobook, that's from that. Yeah. And it's great.
After the light leaves the boy, Carl Rod goes over to comfort the mother as she's holding her child.
What does he say there? He says something when he sees it.
Well, when he sees the light, he's just like, God, something. Mm-hmm. It's just like a...
Is it...
Just sort of an instant reaction.
Like an affirmation, or is it like a...
I can't believe
what I'm
seeing. Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's more just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he, just kind of taking it all in, but he goes over to comfort her, and so many people are standing aside, just like in shock, covering their mouths and just having a hard time, just really chewing the scenery as extras. Nobody has a phone out.
No.
Calling 911.
Yeah, nobody's doing anything.
It's very frustrating.
Just show me one person on the phone.
Calling police.
Some sort of authority.
Yeah.
And the amount of time it takes some of these people to get out of their car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this happened 8 minutes ago, and nothing's happened. Yeah, I guess I need to get out of my car.
Everybody else is doing it.
Like, yes. I realize it's shocking, but come on.
And then there's this one asshole that Patrick pointed out.
Sorry.
Who just, like, doesn't know what to do with his hands.
He doesn't. He's like... just, like, really strange.
Yeah.
The reaction shot, it's like, this. You could have probably left some of those cutaways.
Yeah, just this guy's first acting gig, and he was told to look shocked.
But then somehow there are sirens in the distance, I feel like I heard.
Oh, really? Mm. Maybe.
I missed that.
Yeah, I don't know if I caught that either. Good catch, Tyler.
Good.
Could have made that up. feel like I heard it. But.
No, you may have. Richard keeps driving past the double R, and Miriam... standing outside, and she sees.
They make eye contact,
which is probably not good news for her,
right. Especially because she's dressed so vibrantly. Definitely gonna be able to pick her out.
Yeah, she's got her to-go order in her hand.
Yeah,
this hit-and-run driver pass her.
Also, the connection too with the last episode where I thought the boy was gonna die with Dougie's car and avoided death. That was not the case.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep. I don't know what this office is. It's an unknown office. It is the same one from before when the guy tells the other to not get involved with people like this.
They're in Vegas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A red square pops up on this guy's laptop, his Lenovo ThinkPad.
Yeah. He's like, and then he just like, all right.
Just like minimizes that.
Yeah.
Some sort of warning.
Yeah.
Or notification.
I think he has a virus.
he might have a virus on the computer.
But this prompts him to go and pull a folder with a dot on it out of a safe behind his desk.
Yes.
One black dot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've seen a black dot in this series before.
We have.
On the Z coffee
cup.
There's a black dot by the Z. Just don't know if there's a connection. Just another black dot.
Oh. I feel like everything in this season is intentional. So probably.
Yes. The same company who makes the Z cups also runs an underground crime syndicate.
Yeah.
Is that a Z cup?
And that's their slogan.
Yeah.
Then
just a lot of it's just imagery connections and fun to think about.
Well, I realized after the fact that I kind of jumped the gun last episode by calling this the 119 road before we had context.
Yes.
But the 119 road is where we go next. And as some police officers find the license plate from Dougie's car blown onto Drug Mom's roof, she's sitting inside just saying 119 over and over.
And it's the exact same scene from part 3. It's exactly
the same.
It's already happened.
Oh, it has already happened.
Yeah. It happened in part 3, and it's the exact same scene because the pill is still in the thing before she puts the pill in. It's an exact repeat. What does that mean?
Couldn't afford reshoots.
Why are we seeing the same thing? Is time different in this house? Things on the outside are happening differently. What sort of loop is going on with 119?
I don't know.
Not 911, because no one called 911.
Right.
No. Something to think about.
Maybe.
Because, and I said it in the last episode too, that scene
at the 119 house, in the car, that was a different scene. She's at a different side of the table. It's just a different scene altogether. So it is.
She's just doing it. It is happening again.
It is happening again. This is an intentional reuse of an exact same scene we've already seen.
Hmm. Strange.
Indeed.
They've identified Dougie Jones's car from the plate, from the roof, and they just get that information, and that's about all there is there.
Yeah.
We're in a hotel room where a man is rolling dice and marking a notebook.
Very Vegas thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A small, bald man and a folder with a dot on it gets slid under his door.
Where have we seen that before?
We just saw it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was this episode.
From moments ago,
we were just talking about this. You're right. Just making sure we're all still following along.
Yeah, we're here. We're with you.
Good.
He opens the folder and this sick beat drops.
Yeah, what a great song.
I'm glad you had that queued up. And
that's all I listen to on Spotify. I just
put that song on repeat
all day. I'm giving Blunted Beats their money.
Blunted Beats.
With a Z.
Yeah, he pulls out Lorraine's picture as well as Dougie Jones. And then the guy proceeds to take an ice pick and jam it into the pictures.
Yeah. The music stops when it hits her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Kyle MacLachlan, I would assume, probably had the best time dressed up as the OG Dougie.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that, even just that, it's like, yeah, you had to go take picture, like have a little quick photo shoot. I mean, it's probably from the same shoot from the Jade and,
sure.
But I just love seeing him in that ridiculous wig. And
it's so silly. Yeah. It looks so silly.
Yeah.
So back to Lucky 7 Insurance, where Cooper's having a blast with his coffee. He just got a big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And still needs a little help getting off the elevator.
He does. He does not understand the concept
of getting off the elevator. But he's having a good time.
He's having a great time. Phil, stop. What does he say? Stop goofing around.
Stop goofing around, Dougie. Yeah, but it's Phil. We didn't bring this up last time. This is our third Phil.
Philip. Who are the Phil? Who are the Phil?
Philip Gerard and Philip Jeffrey.
Oh, and now Phil, the coffee guy.
Yeah, Phil Bigsby.
Bigsby. No.
Yep. Yeah, triple's becoming a recurring theme it this is, season. Yeah. I like that it's season 3, technically.
Can't wait for the quadruples to pop up.
Well, I don't know if I can handle quadruples.
I don't even know what that would be.
I'm going to put a blunted beat under it. That's what's going to happen.
Stay tuned.
Season 4.
Gets out of the elevator and gets called by Mullins into the office.
Does not respond to Jones.
No.
No.
Not one bit. Dougie?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Dougie Jones.
Yeah. There's one thing I've learned. When Battling Bud calls you, you better
hustle.
Too.
Yeah.
And I misspoke, too, in the last episode. I thought the scene with him mimicking the poster was the last episode, but it's this episode when he's sitting.
Massive spoiler alert.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, Mullins is looking over the scribblings.
The Green Day?
For a long time.
Dougie Jackson. Yeah. It's great because he's not making sense of it.
Nope.
But then Dougie tells him to make sense of it. Much like I'm trying to make sense of this show.
Yes.
I feel like Dougie's telling the viewer.
Just make sense of it.
So I'm trying.
Figure it out.
I'm trying, Lynch Frost.
Lynch Frost production. He keeps rifling through these papers and notices a recurring theme of chutes and ladders.
Yeah.
And this is what I was talking about earlier. Like Anthony Sinclair, is that
the lying?
That's the guy.
And right. They cut to him too. I think he sees him go into his office. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But is that the part of the document? Like, is that just saying who the agent is?
That's the insurer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it circles his name on all the papers and then always has a line going down to circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mostly detectives.
Right. Yeah.
With
almost like an explosion looking.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to me that he's just like,
what are you doing? You're scribbling. And then all of a sudden he's just like, oh my God, thank you.
But he, yeah. Like,
thank you for giving me a lot to think about. It's so great.
So on my first watch of this, I thought like he was in tune with, I guess, Twin Peaks lore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But after I watched it the second time, it's just kind of with the names and everything, like anybody could just kind of sit down and put these things together.
Yeah. So. It's like he's doing it in a way that's not flat out telling you what it is, much like Lynch with the show. It's not flat out telling you what's going on, but you can make those like connections.
A normal person making these connections would have used a highlighter.
Exactly. Yeah. Said
this name and this name.
That's true.
This page, this name and this name.
Yeah.
Like, look at this.
Yeah.
But nope, this is like
So I thought Battle and Bud was going to be more important. Turns out he's not. He's more washed up than his boxing career.
You're an interesting fellow.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep this information to yourself. That was confusing.
Well, yeah, because
the
like,
first time I was like, what Dougie's are you talking about?
Dougie's not talking to anybody. You're not going to have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Dougie's not saying anything.
I did make a note about as Cooper's waiting for Mullins to figure out the scribblings in the case files. He looks up and he does mimic the poster,
mm-hmm.
like puts his hands up with the Battling Bud poster. But he seems to kind of look at the poster and look at Mullins and kind of...
That same guy?
Kind of compare them, like the younger him to the aged himself. And I think that's neat, considering he himself has aged 25 years, but hasn't seen a younger Dale Cooper in an image yet. I just think that's cool.
Yeah. Quite cool.
So they don't shake hands before he leaves.
No. He was approached for a handshake.
Yes.
But Dougie just copied him. Like he didn't do it.
Even like, he's like, oh, is that a thing?
Like turns his back to him and just does exactly what he's doing.
I can do that too.
Like if there was this group handshake thing, there would just be this line of people in this position.
That'd be great.
Like, does somebody come in front of me now and we just we get ready?
It's like the business bunny hop.
Yeah.
The business bunny hop. Band name called it.
Perfect.
Speaking of bosses.
Got Vic Koss on the line?
Janie E. is in the park meeting up with the bookies.
Man.
The Bookhouse Boys?
No.
Nope.
The
Bookie Boys.
Bookie Boys.
Yes. Janie E. and the Bookies.
Janie E. and the Bookie Boys.
My favorite 60s doo-wop group.
Yes. Yes. I sing that classic hit, Red Onions.
Yep, Red Onions.
Who turns the corner? None other than Daniel Faraday.
Daniel Faraday.
He's had a rough go of it since he got off the island.
Yep.
And other guy with a ponytail.
He was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, Amazing Grace.
I don't know. I love how hard she scolds them like children.
Yeah.
About demanding money.
I feel like it's like their first time having to collect, or are they like, is this their money or are they collecting for a bigger?
These seem like the hired toughs to get the money. I don't think this is for
them. They're going to get roughed up for sure.
It's like
accepting this deal.
It's like he bet on a game and now he owes us money. He's like, oh, he bet on a game. Have you ever been to a bank
with interest?
Do you know what interest percentage is like?
Yeah.
You know that you're lucky to get 25, which is all you're getting?
Yeah.
Shame on you. Shame on both of you. Look at yourselves.
A plague. I never want to see you again. Of both your houses.
Nevertheless, lady.
Nevertheless.
Yeah, lady. I love that he tries to interrupt her.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, lady. I said, no.
No.
It's a sorry attempt to try and intervene here.
It is.
It's a damn fine line.
Oh.
There you go.
Nevertheless, lady.
So here's what we're gonna do.
Damn fine.
It's so good.
It really
is. So good.
I also love that before she sends them away with the 25, because I want you to take a good, long, hard look at yourselves.
Yeah.
Because I never want to see you again. It's like, remember what you guys look like.
Yeah.
It's, so you don't show me you again.
It's one of those things, like, it sounds tough and aggressive.
Yeah.
It's like, Okay.
Like, she's just like, so worked up.
I get what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Like, she'll...
I love that,
on
too,
her drive
like, she's
home.
So worked up about it.
Yeah. Yeah. She on her drive home, coming. She's going to be replaying it in her head.
It feels unscripted.
Yeah, what did I say?
It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
I should have said,
that's what
stuff
I
it up
said.
Your butt, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, take a long, hard look at yourselves, because I never want to see you.
Damn it.
Again,
man.
Naomi Watts, so good.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Those so how to good. Act tough classes are just not paying off.
She does the best tough acting person who does not know what she's trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, she's just a mom.
Yeah.
Who's shaking down these bookies, and it's perfect. It comes across perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
It's excellent. But, yeah, she leaves them, and all they can say is, tough dame.
Tough dame.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm. Great.
So good. So, essentially, that debt is cleared, we think.
Yeah,
I would assume.
I think that's...
Ostensibly, done. That situation is handled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Done.
So, taken care of. Is that the last we'll see of them? We don't know yet.
Probably hope so.
Hope so. Hope so. It'd be a real shame if they got Daniel Faraday to do a two-minute scene.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that is all we get as of now for that. We're going to go to Lorraine's office. We can see her through the doorway sitting at her desk before we just hear these
screams
of horror.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This is brutal.
Yeah.
And gruesome.
Yeah, it's super
intense.
The
fact that it's soundtracked. What am I supposed to feel?
Yeah.
What?
I think it kind of
also
takes the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, and also maybe. And also it's Ike the Spike. Who delivers like the great comedic timing at the end when his bike is broken. So like there's all these elements. It's like, yes, it's brutal. It's gruesome, mm-hmm. but kind of that part's funny. Mm-hmm. And this music's playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ike the Spike, just 3.5 feet of terror.
Yeah.
Comes skidding around the corner.
I mean, like, I feel like just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
put
just
your
strong
arm
on him.
Just,
yeah.
Just
strong arm him.
Or just kick him over.
Try.
Yeah.
Just try something. Now This little murder machine comes skidding around the corner, runs into her office, and just hacks away.
Mm. And then, like,
until she is good,
you know,
at it.
Joysticks her torso. Is rough.
It's real rough. It's graphic, too. It is gory.
And the other funny part is the woman that just shows up in the doorway just watching.
Yeah, she witnesses
not
it.
Running,
doesn't even scream.
Doesn't scream, but then she takes She's off.
Like, well, because she messed up.
Yeah, and she dies. Off screen, you just have the lingering shot.
She broke
the
spike.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really went in on her.
So I guess we have three deaths here.
Yeah.
Because you have the first one, Lorraine.
Well, we know of three deaths. I don't know how many floors lead up to this
one. That's true. So we'll do a general.
She's dead.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just blanket covers everything.
Yeah. They dead.
Should we take a moment for Lorraine?
Let's take a moment for Lorraine.
I was hoping you were going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We knew you not.
Yeah. She knew it was coming, I think.
I guess.
With her reaction to not getting Dougie killed in the last episode.
If she knew it was coming, I would have closed my door.
Yeah, I mean, I would have left town.
Yeah.
I would have left town.
Maybe don't have your theme song blaring. Where
giving
you
away your position.
Find
yeah.
you.
That's true.
Yeah, just, and.
Can't argue that.
It is a little comedic. Because you have the soundtrack playing, the murder is brutal.
Yeah.
And then he chases down and kills a third lady off screen. But then he comes around the corner like a kid whose puppy just got kicked because
so
his ice pick's bent.
Oh. Doesn't even go like, oh. poor Ike the Spike.
Poor Ike the Spike. Poor little guy.
Real rough stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that take us?
That takes us to a nondescript clearing where Richard Dick is trying to wash the blood off the front of the truck. It doesn't try very hard.
Yeah. It just has a bottle of water and it comes off.
Yes.
So here we have a bloody towel.
Bloody towel.
Yep.
Where we transition to Hawk. If I don't know if you remember, Hawk found the bloody towel in the missing pages of a certain diary.
He did mention that.
Yeah, he did mention that. And what does Hawk find here? Some missing pages. It's crazy.
It's also the second coin in the episode.
That's true.
Yep.
Second coin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, we go from Dick washing the car to Hawk washing his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying,
also, this is getting ridiculous.
We go from a scene with a person to a scene with a person.
Person.
So crazy.
Does he drop this buffalo nickel? Or
I think he pulls something out of his pocket.
Yeah, he's like reaching for something in his pocket, and I think it slips. Yeah, obviously, it slips out by accident. He's not just pulling it out and dropping it on purpose, because he looks down to see, oh, whoops, I dropped this.
Right.
I made me wonder if he even knew he had it in there.
Yeah, I was kind of curious, too. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it would be maybe like a Lucky Charm or something.
Right.
I loved in the live stream.
The Patreon live stream?
Yes.
On our Patreon page.
On our Patreon
exclusively page. For our Patreon subscribers.
Are you talking about patreon.com/talkingbackwards, where you can get exclusive merch and rewards per tier?
One. That's the one.
Is that HTTP? colon?
You had to think about it.
Backslash www.patreon.com/talkingbackwards. So I loved in the live stream before it was revealed that it was a buffalo nickel. I was like, is that a buffalo nickel?
And you, right,
you
were.
Say that and you were.
You
right.
Called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is still the connections. Well, we need to get a connection here to the book, Secret History. But also, I mean, this is revealed. This is what the log lady was telling him. Something has to do with his heritage.
Right.
Yeah.
The way you will find it will have to do with your hair.
Would not have predicted it had to do with a stall door in the
bathroom.
I did
not know the Nez Perce were into
manufacturing
of bathroom stalls.
Yes, this was manufactured for a purpose.
Yes.
For storing
missing diary pages.
Missing diary pages and bloody towels.
Yeah. Well, he goes and gets a crowbar so he can just pry off this door after he finds the nickel in the stall.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because he sees that it's loose at the top.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Chad comes in.
Chad sucks.
Fuck Chad.
Did you get this cleared with the sheriff? I'm going to tell him if you don't.
You do that, Chad.
Yeah, Hawk doesn't care. He's like, I've known Frank forever.
He's like, good luck
with
that.
Not worried about you. Go use the ladies' room.
You do that, Chad.
Go be like Dougie using the ladies' room at Lucky 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chad gets kind of shooed, and he goes back to, I guess this is the bullpen for the station?
I guess. It's this weird room that they must have added on in the past 25 years.
Mm-hmm. But Frank's in there, and here comes Doris again. Surprise, surprise.
Oh gosh.
She's back.
Her dad's car doesn't work.
Yeah.
It can't be that he left the emergency brake on.
Are you telling me? Or don't you tell me my father doesn't know how to drive? It was awful.
Terrible.
Man. But then Chad opens his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he wouldn't let his wife talk to him like that, but the dispatcher needs to remind him that they weren't always this way.
They weren't.
So that adds a lot to why she's acting, Doris is acting this way.
Mm-hmm. They had a little bit of trauma in their past. Their son had committed suicide, and Chad is terrible about that.
Yeah.
Makes some very off-color remarks about that situation. But this could have been the event that caused Doris to kind of snap.
Yeah.
And now she's a different person.
Yeah, and it makes you read those situations totally different now. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you're just like, man, I feel bad for Frank. But yeah,
it explains why Frank has the patience of a saint.
Yeah, I feel bad for both of them.
Yeah.
Tough.
So we get that knowledge, and then we go to the Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Where Sharon Van Etten plays Tarifa.
Tarifa, and it was terrific.
It's terrific. It's a great song.
Hell yeah.
I've been very happy with the music thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Roadhouse knows how to book. Like, who's booking these bands at the Roadhouse? It's not Gene. Say that.
Renault?
It's not Gene. Gene Michael. Renault.
Is it Jean-Michel Renault?
Jean-Michel.
Jean-Michel.
I like Michael. Great music. Great way to close the show. Anything with the credits this time?
Other than Ike the Spike, I didn't catch
him. I'm not fishing for anything. Ike the Spike. I just love that he's credited as that. Ike the Spike.
Yeah. No, I got nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Nope, nothing here.
All right.
It was good though.
Yeah. Very, very good episode. Despite this being an episode filled with magic, there was no sign of David Copperhead. This is the first episode without him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No Mr. C here.
Very Dougie-centric.
Very Dougie-filled, for sure. Again, when I think about this part, I feel like the Diane thing just sticks out just because it's so cool, so important. It's a tough episode, especially if you're not into the graphic nature of the boy dying and Lorraine dying. It's a very graphic episode. Still, the Dougie antics and Janie E, there's a lot of fun to be had. It's a fun part and also a sad part.
Yeah. A lot of tragedy and a lot of laughs. Honestly, this one, like, it's balanced.
Yeah.
Pretty well, I think.
It is balanced really well.
So it's.
It gives you everything.
It gives you.
It's got it all.
Yeah. This one's got it all. I loved seeing Diane, obviously. I'm bummed that we didn't get more of her, but yeah. Great reveal.
Great reveal.
So
fantastically done.
I mean, if Audrey doesn't come back, give me some.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost interchangeable.
Almost a fair trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, with that, I've got some unanswered questions, and maybe you guys can help me.
Oh, we have some unsolved mysteries?
Do.
Unsolved mysteries.
So this is a segment where Patrick poses some of the unsolved mysteries from the episode, and we give some definitive scientific answers.
What happened to the old Fat Trout trailer park?
Burned down.
Burnt to the ground.
Disappeared.
Flattened.
With Phil.
And Chet.
Chet.
He just took it with him.
Yeah. This is
You're
mine.
Coming with me.
This is mine.
I like to imagine this kind of black hole scenario where it's just kind of... And it's gone.
Yeah.
Like a
He moved it to right off the beach where he shot the video for Wicked Game.
That's the space he's in.
Yeah.
That's the lodge. He's in the beach lodge.
Yeah.
Chet's doppelganger is Chris Isaac, the musician.
For sure. Who hid the missing diary pages in the bathroom of the sheriff's station?
I'm going to say it was Mike. So he had his little spasm in the stall before. And I think somewhere in there he was just like, reaches into his pocket, pulls him out, kind of pulls it, sticks in there, closes up. then he changed. It happened right then and there. Off camera.
It did. It did.
Changed my mind.
I shan't.
Will Ike the Spike get a new spike?
He has to. It's his favorite thing in the world.
Unsolved mysteries.
You guys want to take a quick trip to the Reddit room?
I'll pass. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, come on.
Reddit room.
A lot warmer in here this time. Maybe too warm. Ooh. I kicked the heat on last time after we talked about it, and I think maybe I set it too high. Anyhow, the Reddit room, where I go onto Reddit and I find some discussion posts from the initial reactions to these episodes, and we see if there's anything worth talking about. And I think there is. From First Exiled 3 years ago. So, is the drug-dealing magician Mrs. Tremont's grandson? He's studying magic. I don't think so.
No.
I'm going to tell you why. It's been 25 years. And this guy looks much older.
Yeah. He's definitely in his 40s.
The grandson would be by this point. But there's also the issue of time.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's not always a completely accurate thing.
And I mean, that kid was going places.
Yeah.
With his magicianry.
He was.
The cream corn hands.
He was going to be opening for David.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, skills on point, the skills speak volumes to the connection.
Yeah.
But I don't see this kid, who we have also seen in a spiritual sense, like running around with Miss Tremond,
mm-hmm.
wearing the jumping man mask, just being more of a lodge spirit than an active member of the Twin Peaks community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and this guy wasn't always here. Like, he's just shown up to do the trade here. But I don't think that his function in the town right now is enough to correlate him with the grandson. I just feel like the motives and the way they behave don't line up. Even if we can't play with time.
Sure. I think people were making the connections with it, with Magic, one, and then his name being Red, two. But who knows?
Yeah,
it's just something fun to think.
It is fun. And I see where the connections came from. I know how those speculations came about.
He's trying to ruin the town with his magic drug.
I just don't think it holds a lot of water. But I am burning up. I think we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah, it's hot. I can't.
We got to go.
Can't handle the heat. Fire it away. Is
super hot.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Not a lot left to do, except get down to what really matters. And that's rating this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 James Hurley foreheads.
Talking foreheads.
I can't. I just can't.
James!
Tyler, since you're quick with the wit.
I am.
Why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
I am just going to get right down to it.
I love it when you just get down to business.
Just 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
I do.
Diane.
Yeah.
What kept that half point from you?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Forgot. Let me get down to it.
Okay.
Just 5.
Gimme some of that. Laura Dern.
The moment rose above everything else for you. Gave you the 5.
Oh, yeah.
Pushed it to the 5.
That was the accelerant.
Yeah. I mean, and she's just a classy lady.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure is.
Yeah.
Dripping with class. I'm actually going to go with your original take and go with a 4.5.
Just 4.5.
What kept the half point away from me was the Diane tease.
Interesting.
We see her. She says, hello, Albert. And
don't see her again.
You don't see her
again. Let me tell you something, Dave.
This part.
If you met Diane in real life,
mm-hmm.
and she teased you,
yes,
you'd be handing out like 6 to 10 foreheads.
6 to 10.
Yeah.
You're probably right. But you know what? I haven't met her in real life. I've been waiting for this for a long time. And I just got a drop. And I want the cup. I got the drop.
Yeah.
I want the cup.
Okay. Okay.
4.5. Stand by it.
Okay. Okay.
It's a good score. It's a damn fine score.
That was talking for.
What you I got? Will not be rating.
What you got, Patrick?
Yes, the Diane tease, would have loved to have seen more. The Richard and the kid's death is tough. It's a tough watch every time. Yeah, I got to go with 4.5.
Just 4.5.
That's talking foreheads, babe.
Talking foreheads.
That's good, babe.
What do we miss? What do we need to talk about more?
Probably a lot.
Let us know at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com.
What did we make you think about? Maybe hit us up on Twitter. I'm talking backward.
Do you want to take a look at what we're doing? See some images? Slide into our DMs? You can do that at Talking Backwards Pod on Instagram. Tyler?
All right. You know what time it is. It is time for some more Egg Devler shout-outs. Today, I would like to shout out to Kate Ross, Colton, and the one and only Dead Logo. Thank you all so much for the support. It means the world to us. Please tell your friends so they can get some shout outs from yours truly, because that would make anybody's life. Those have been my Egg Devler shout outs. If you or anybody you know would like to have their name read out loud on a podcast, then please tell them to support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Anchor.com.
.fm. .fm/talkingbackwards. Yes.
We'll see you next time
on Talking Backwards.
See you next week for There's a Body, All Right.
I'm the cleaning lady. Last time I saw that, Johnny, he wasn't a victim, if you know what I'm talking about. Looks like a classic case of autoerotic asphyxiation. Looks like everybody's tightening their belts in this economy. Dun, 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 dun.